Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, that on this very damp and cold day, we can gather in a place of warmth, shelter, with brethren and friends to be taught by thee. Lord, we ask thee, Lord, to speak to us. Teach us things, Lord, out of thy word. Give us insights. Give us direction. Lord, deal with us as children. And we commit to heeding the words that come from thee. We commit, Lord, to being doers of thy word and not just hearers. Lord, be with those who can't be with us. We're mindful of Sister Hilda, who can't be with us, and Aunt Lainey, Mom and Dad, who are a bit under the weather. Others, Lord, that Brother Emil, that find themselves not yet ready to be with us again. We're mindful of Helene as well, Lord, and bless them. Lord, speak to them, touch their hearts, that they might feel not only thy love, but our love as well. Lord, do far more than we can ask. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear ones, if you could turn with me to Joshua 24 as a main text for this morning. Joshua 24. With the Lord's help, I'd like to read 28 verses. You know you're getting old when you get the pulpit Bible out because the font is just a little bit bigger than your regular Bible. Joshua 24, beginning with the first verse. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for their elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And they gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and with horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them unto your hand that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still, and I delivered you out of his hand. And he went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, not with a sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you all the land for which ye did not inherit, did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said unto and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Even the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of our bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all in the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them in a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man and unto his inheritance. Through verse 28. Dear ones, several weeks ago, I don't remember exactly what the message was. I don't remember who was preaching it. And the thought came to my mind about choices. And the choices that we make. Joshua had, the children of Israel had gone through this wilderness of 40 years, didn't need to take that long. It took that long because of choices they made or their parents had made that were wrong. They had seen themselves being delivered from the hands of the Egyptians. Joshua even reminds them, he said, remember all the things that God's brought us through. Do you remember the evidence in our own lives of God preserving us and taking care of us? He reminds them somewhat in a subtle way, but that they were there, they were in the wilderness for a long time, a long season, didn't need to be that long. It was a 40-day journey that took 40 years because of unbelief, and all those that were probably older than 20 never made it to the promised land because of their unbelief and their doubt. But now they're there. And I love how he also reminds them that you're in cities that you didn't build. You're eating from vineyards and orchards that you didn't plant. And do you remember that even in a couple of these cases, you didn't have to fight, that the Lord sent hornets to drive out the inhabitants. And now you're here. And then he says to them, he says, choose you this day who you will serve. You got to make a choice. You can't sit in the middle. Then he even challenges them. He says, you can't choose the Lord because you're not going to serve him. You're not going to be faithful. And he pushes back a couple times and they said, yes, we will. We will serve the Lord. We do choose to be faithful to the Lord. And as he concludes the chapter, he writes it down, places it on a giant stone. The stone is to be there as a witness to the fact that they had committed to choosing God. So as I thought about these choices, there was a quote that I heard some years ago, and the quote is actually a quote from John Wooden. And Coach Wooden said, there is a choice you have to make in everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you. The choices that we make, dear ones, make us. We have an amazing creator in that he created each one of us with the ability to choose. He doesn't force us to do anything. Each one of us has absolute free will to choose. And it's interesting, I kind of did a little bit of research, you know, how many choices do we actually make in a given day? According to some researchers at Cornell, we make 226.7 choices per day just related to food. We make a total of 35,000 choices a day. No wonder we're tired. But the reality is that many of these choices that we make are somewhat unconscious choices. I'd like you to think about driving to church this morning. Those of you that drove, do you remember the journey? When you drive to work, how many times are those of you that used to have to drive to work, when you arrived at work, how many times did you get there and say to yourself, I honestly don't remember driving here? For 15 years, I drove to Auburn and back. So many times I'd get to the plant and I do not remember going through Skinny Atlas. How did I get here? Our brains are making choices, making decisions with very minimal thought. When you get up in the morning and you go to brush your teeth, there's a certain pattern that you use to brush your teeth. You brush it pretty much the same way every time. You're making choices, picking up the toothbrush, putting the toothpaste on, how much we put on, starting on a certain side, top, bottom, whatever it might be, that's your routine. When you take a shower, you wash yourself pretty much the same pattern every time. When you get dressed almost exactly the same way. Those are all choices that you're making. So what's happened is you have created habits around choices that you need to make. And you do that for self-preservation so that you don't have to be thinking about all the time what it is I need to choose. That's good. That can be bad. And we have to build into our lives tools, systems to make the right choices. And we'll talk a little bit more about that toward the end. As I reflected on this, I thought about, well, I wonder what choices might jump to mind that we have in Scripture. So Genesis 3:6, probably one of the most profoundly bad choices, the worst choice ever made. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Our first parents chose sin, and everything changed. In an instant, their bad choice changed everything. Now, we can't blame them, because had they not made that choice, we would have. But that was a choice. Another choice that I thought of was in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And Moses, doing very similar things, to having very similar conversation with the Israelites before he went on to his reward that Joshua did. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, Moses says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Dear ones, are we choosing life? That's a choice that's ours. The choice that's given to each human being is to decide, will you choose life? Another scripture that comes to mind, why will ye die, O house of Israel? Choosing death rather than life. And then, so a little bit later in scripture, and I know I'm skipping, actually the word choose appears 58 times in scripture. I thought it would have been more than that. I didn't read them all. But I love this one in Isaiah 6, verse 18. So we know that Isaiah has this vision that he's seen, and in this is a heavenly vision. And in verse 8 of chapter 6, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" The choice that Isaiah made. He is seeing this heavenly vision. He's understanding that he's hearing that there's this challenge, this mission that needs to be engaged in. And the question that he hears is, who can I send? Who will go and speak for us? Who will give this profound prophecy, this profound revelation to mankind? And Isaiah says, "Send me." Dear ones, what mission do you need to choose to take? In Bible class, Mike talked about we read the scripture where Peter was talking about how people are given a gift. What are we doing with it? In Bible study a few weeks back, there's the parable in Luke about the pounds that are given, and each person, 10 people, were each given a pound. And they were supposed to do something with that pound. They were supposed to occupy until the Lord returns. And that pound is the gospel that was given to each to share. And one hid it, didn't share the gospel, didn't use the pound that was given. And he was a wicked servant. And he got his reward for his wickedness. What's your pound? Well, all of us are given the pound, which is the gospel. Are we sharing it? What's your giftedness? What's your talent? What is that unique special thing that the creator of all creators has given you to use in the kingdom? Every person that was ever born has been gifted with something, at least one or two. Sadly, many choose not to utilize the gift. How tragic. Unrealized potential. But for those of us that claim to be his children, are we busy using the gift? I pray that I would be a lot more like Isaiah and say, "Send me." But for Isaiah to get to the point where he could say, "Send me," he had to be in the presence of God, this heavenly vision. When, and it's a verse that I love, when to start the book of Revelation, John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." I don't think that's an accident that he put that in there. On the Lord's day, he chose to be in the Spirit while exiled on the island of Patmos. And what was he given? The last revelation of Jesus Christ. To see things that no man had ever seen, and to see things that he couldn't understand. I think perhaps one of the neatest things for John was John got to see Christ in his glory. Wow. Why? Because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, purposefully trying to hear. I love this verse, Matthew 9, verse 9. "And Jesus, as he passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He saith unto him, 'Follow me.' And he arose and followed him." Matthew was a tax collector. He was an outcast among his own people because of the profession that he chose. He chose riches rather than his people. There was something in him that yearned for something more. He had everything that the world could offer. He had riches. He had comfort. He had the respect of Rome. But there was something missing in his heart. And when that wasn't something, there was someone missing in his heart. And when that someone passed by and their eyes met, Jesus said, "Follow me." And he did. My friend outside of Christ, is Jesus saying follow? What will your choice be? Sad verse. Couple of sad verses in Matthew. Jesus, Matthew 19, verses 21 and 22. Jesus saith unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He chose not to follow. It's all the choice. Isn't it interesting that the one rich man understood the perspective of his riches and he left them? And the other rich man was bound by them. Choices. What will we choose? Now, I talked earlier about, you know, choices that we make that are just, they're not meaningful. They're not critical. You know, what I eat for breakfast is not going to affect a lot. It might affect my health, but it's not going to dramatically change the course of human history or my history. But there are choices that do. And so we have to ask ourselves, so in those choices that really matter, how do we make them? How do I know what to choose? Well, the first place we need to go is Scripture. Does God in his infinite wisdom, in this record that he gave us, this written record that has been proven for centuries to be true and valuable and has changed lives? You know, one of the reasons why Joshua identified what the Israelites had gone through was it was proof for them that God was who he says he was. And you've heard me say, you know, one of my favorite phrases in that old movie, The Ten Commandments, is when Ramses says to Nefertiti about Moses' God, he goes, "His God is God." Now, I know that was written. It's not in the Scripture. But the way that was represented was just so good, where Pharaoh has to finally admit that Moses' God is the real God. And all that Joshua was doing was showing the Israelites, our God is God. And look what he's done. Now, we haven't been led from bondage in Egypt. And even if we are not yet redeemed or born again, we have evidence here that this is true. For centuries, men have tried to disprove this and discredit this book, and they can't. And then, even if we haven't yet been redeemed, we have believers around us that are living evidence of God's amazing provisions in the lives of people. People taken through such heartache and hardship and preserved. And then I always challenge anyone that doesn't really know, so is it really sure? My challenge to you is ask God to reveal himself to you. He's not hiding from anybody. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." So why would God hide? God's not going to hide. If with a sincere heart you ask God to reveal himself to you, he will. So then we also now, once we have been redeemed and we've been cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and been given victory over self and sin through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And I love the way Jesus talked about what the Spirit's role would be. In John 14, he's beginning with verse 6, he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So we have the Spirit within us, brethren, to help us make these decisions. And then a couple chapters later in John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. I love how Jesus in that verse says, where he says the Spirit isn't going to speak for himself. The Holy Spirit speaks the things to us that he hears from God the Father. What an amazing connection that is available for believers to help us make the right choices. And then the other thing that I really believe is important is that each person needs an inner circle. An inner circle is made up of people that love us unconditionally, that we trust implicitly, and that will speak truth into our life. Not what we want to hear, what we need to hear. This small group of very trusted confidants, that when we still are puzzled and we still have wonder and we still are questioning, we can say, can you just help me think through this? Can you help pray me through this? This is a major decision that I need to make, and I'm not really certain what the Lord's will is yet. So we have Scripture, we have the Spirit, and hopefully we have other believers that speak into our lives as well. Now, those are major decisions. Those are major choices. But how do we safeguard all the other choices? If we're making 35,000 choices a day, how do we make it easier to make the right choices? And as I thought about that, I thought about, well, we have these habits. You know, I don't think about what I do in the morning. I get up, you know, I go into the bathroom, I get myself ready to go to work, I go out, I start my coffee. While my coffee is brewing, my one cup of coffee, I shave. It's just about every day of the week. Sometimes the weekends, I might skip the shaving thing if I can for a little while. But at some point in the day, I go like this, and it's like, oh man, that's awful. I got to go shave. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to think about how much coffee do I make, because I do the same thing every day. What kind of rituals could we build into, or habits could we build into our day to help us make the right spiritual choices? Well, what do we do after we have our coffee? Have we built in the ritual of now is a 30 to 45 minute quiet time with the Lord? Maybe we're not people that are, I'm not a person that's extremely disciplined. I just, you know, I struggle with it. I'm always trying to become more disciplined. But for me last year, one of the things that kept me focused every day in the Word was the challenge that Andrew, my son-in-law, laid out to us. Who wants to go through the Bible in a year? Perfect. Engaged in that. Every day, my phone was telling me what verses needed to be read. The Bible class lesson. Every day during the week, our Bible class lessons have a reference inside. Maybe that's something we read. Others, I have a devotional that I've gotten for years that this year I decided to go back through again, and I'm going to stick with that. So every day it's telling me what I need. If I have that, that now becomes, call it a habit, but it's a good habit. If I was working with people on their professional life, I would say you need to create success habits in your life. Well, we need to create spiritual success habits in our life. Time in prayer, time in the Word. Time to go to church. Do we always feel like going? No. Maybe some days we don't. Maybe it does, and maybe it feels like a burden at the end of a busy day on a Wednesday, whatever, to go to a Bible study. Make it a habit. Push yourself through it if you're able. And I guarantee the Lord will bless you. So as believers, if we want to live a victorious life in Christ, build in the right kinds of habits to make the right kinds of choices to feed our spiritual life. But the first thing we need to do, my dear one, is to choose life. Moses said it, Joshua said it, Jesus said it. We have the choice. Will we choose life? And as Coach Wooden said, he said it so well, there is a choice you have to make in everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you. May the Lord add his blessing to these words.